Welcome into another edition of the B Squared Podcast. It is Monday, June 20th as we record, and the Cubs are still really, really good. He is Brian Beto. I'm Jordan Bernfield. Glad to have you along. The Cubs have won 7 out of 10. They've won 3 in a row. They just swept the Pittsburgh Pirates. And Beto, I don't know if I can remember a time where the Cubs were 12.5 up on St. Louis and 15 up on Pittsburgh, or 12.5 and 15 up on anybody to lead the division. This is uncharted waters.
Well, there's a reason why you can't remember that. It's because it's never happened. They've never been this insane this early on in the season, or really ever. But I think it going back to like the even before the divisional era, they haven't had a lead like this in, you know, decades upon decades. And I think this is their biggest lead ever since 1969 or 1970, whenever the divisional era started. We'll have to ask our elders for when that actually started, our dads. They'll probably know the answer to that.
Yeah.
However, it's unbelievable. It was funny because around this time last week, people were making jokes like, oh, here come the Cards. You know, Cardinals fans were getting excited that the team was starting to play better. Ever since that point, the Cardinals have pretty much lost every game, including every home game, to the Astros and Rangers. And now they're just as far back as they've pretty much been all season, if not more. And the Pirates continue their tailspin. Their offense has disappeared. They look like the Mets at the plate now. And the Cubs just keep on trucking, keep on winning. So they'll take on a Cardinals team who's reeling but has been better on the road. So we'll see what happens this week. But it's just unbelievable what we've seen so far and continues to be.
It's unbelievable, and that's definitely true. Last night, as we record, Sunday night was Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Also, the Cubs played on Sunday Night Baseball, hit 5 home runs in the win over the Pirates. So I'm watching both games, which – Beto, you know me, and you know that I'm not Mr. NBA, but it's Game 7 of the Finals. I'm obviously going to watch. Mm-hmm. So I'm switching between the Cubs game and the Finals game. And, in fact, at one point I was working out, and I had the Cubs game on the Watch ESPN app, and I had the basketball game on the TV on my machine in the workout room so that I could watch both at the same time. But I had switched really to the NBA game once it was getting to the latter stages of it. But I checked Twitter, and I happened to see, hey, Wilson Contreras is going to get his first big league at bat. So I'm like, okay, great. So I switch over just in time to see him step into the box and hit a home run. And I literally jumped out of my chair. What an exciting moment.
I was laughing at it. I turned... it's funny you mentioned that. I was watching the NBA game at that point too, and I didn't even see Twitter. I just got lucky and happened to flip back as he was getting a standing ovation walking to the plate. Spoiler alert, though, I was not working out, believe it or not, like you were. However, I did happen to see the same thing. And once he hit it, I just started laughing because it was just so unbelievable. And I think I even tweeted laughter, a nice little ha 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 that went on for a good, you know, 13-14 characters of ha's. And
I like the specificity of how many ha's there were.
Yeah, it wasn't just a quick ha ha. You know, there's degrees of ha ha's. When somebody
there
says,
are, yes,
really not laughing, they say LOL, that doesn't even mean laughing out loud anymore. You need like caps, ha 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 ha, as many times, LMAO,
right,
RF, all that stuff.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Ha, LOL doesn't mean you're actually doing anything anymore.
Correct, you know what I mean? Yes.
So Contreras comes in, hits the bomb, and it was just a remarkable moment. I thought the game was pretty much in hand. The Pirates ended up getting a little bit closer before the Cubs put it to bed once again later on with the Russell home run and some other things that happened. However, it was one of those things where rarely in sports do you get the anticipation of what's going to happen and then what you hope and anticipate actually happens. And that's what happened last night with Contreras. Gets the standing ovation. The crowd's so excited to see what he does in his first at bat. And in the first pitch, he hits one into right center field bleachers, and the crowd erupts. I'm sure it was awesome for the fans there, even better for Wilson Contreras himself. And it got me thinking about some of the other memorable debuts. And this sort of stacks up towards the top. He maybe doesn't have the, you know, the glamour of someone like when Rizzo debuted or Mark Pryor. Probably, but it's almost just for me, it's towards the top just because the Cubs are good now, and it's cool to see him fit in with the way things have been trending.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that it was great to see Contreras get his moment in the sun and to get a standing ovation. And the Cubs obviously hit a lot of home runs in that series. The Cubs have just dominated the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I don't even know how to explain it. I mean, I understand that Gerrit Cole's on the disabled list, and they have some injuries that they're dealing with. Andrew McCutchen has not had a Cutch type of year. But I knew we were going to be a good team this year. I get all that. I did not think that it was going to be this. I did not think that they were going to just run away and hide and that the Pirates would regress as much as they have. I could maybe see the Cardinals regressing a little bit, but not to this degree. I mean, it's honestly a little bit surprising what's going on here.
Totally. I didn't know if we'd be playing 7-0-1 baseball at this point. I think I'm with you. I think I'm even more surprised that not that we're playing so well, that the Pirates have struggled. I thought the Pirates sort of figured it out, it seemed, and they weren't getting great pitching. However, they were hitting a ton, and I figured someone like Liriano would figure it out, that Cole would be fine, but now he's on the DL. Liriano stinks. If the Cubs are actually hitting Liriano, you know he stinks because they never seem to hit. And then Jameson Taillon is going to be a nice pitcher. He's done pretty good so far. However, you know, he's young. It's hard to rely on him totally. They'll probably bring up Tyler Glasnow soon enough. Mark Melanson's still good at the tail end of the pen, but they're never winning anymore at the end of games, so he's never on in a big spot. And now Francisco Cervelli's going to be out a while too, and they're just really, really scuffling, and they are just so far back. I asked my friend this the other day at work, who's a Cardinals fan. I go, at what point do you just, when the Cubs are playing the Pirates, do you just start rooting for the Cubs? Are you there yet? Because I feel like last year I was rooting for the Cardinals early enough when they were playing the Pirates and some other teams that the Cubs are fighting for the wild card, because this lead, I know it's the history, I know it's the Cubs, it just seems insurmountable the way this team is playing and the way they just bludgeon their divisional opponents.
Yeah, I mean, you don't come back from being 15 down. I mean, nope. I'm sure that there's some example in baseball history, maybe there isn't. I can't think of a team that's done it, and I feel like if you're the Pirates and you're one of their fans, you just go get the Penguins Stanley Cup DVD and you forget about what happened this season. Because honestly, right? I mean, what else do you do if you're a Pirates fan? I mean, they're a total disaster. But Dexter Fowler, as we record, just went on to the 15-day DL with the hamstring injury, retroactive to a few days ago when he injured it. C.J. Edwards, or Carl Edwards Jr., as he now likes to call himself, has come up for the minor leagues. Maybe he can help them out in the bullpen. Beto, the Cubs have lost a lot of outfielders, and I know that it might be a 15-day DL stint, and he could come back in 2 weeks and be fine, but hamstrings are one of those things that, and I know that they said it wasn't that serious, but you never really know. Sometimes they linger. The point I guess I'm making here is I think they need to add another outfielder. I feel like at this point, when you lose Schwarber, you lose Soler, you lost Fowler now for 2 weeks, I mean, at some point, you're going to need to fortify this thing. And as deep as they are, and as unbelievable as it is that they've been able to weather all these storms, how many more guys can you lose before you add?
Yeah, and we said on this last podcast that we thought the Cubs were about to trade for a left-handed hitting outfielder. And the next day they traded for Chris Coughlin. Not that he's this long-term great solution. He's a Band-Aid. But someone,
I like Cogs.
So do I.
He's decent, yeah.
He was brutal. One of the worst offensive players in the game with Oakland this year. You just had a feeling, though, that he'd come back and come back to the player that was similar to what we've seen in Chicago the last couple of years. And so far he's been that. He's not great defensively in left field, but he's going to have a nice at bat. He's going to make the pitcher work. He's going to get a fair share of hits and home runs, and he's fine. And I wouldn't be totally shocked to see them go get a difference maker as a left-handed hitting outfielder. I know Jay Bruce is thrown out there. I'm not super fond of that idea. It's possible, but the one thing is that they almost, this is so cliche, but they almost made a trade without making one and bringing up Almora, because he's been very effective, and at the very, very least, he's going to go out and play outstanding center field defense and hopefully hit a decent amount. He's not going to hit for a lot of power. He's not going to walk a lot. However, if he plays great defense and contributes and, you know, has some big hits from here and there, the full Fowler thing, I'm guessing they're just not going to mess around. They're 27 games over 500. It's a hamstring, like you said. You don't want to press the issue with something like that and make it worse. So it might be precautionary, and they must have just some faith in the guys they have to hold down the fort for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I love what Albert Almora Jr. has done so far, and I think that he is a bright future. But I think for a team that's going to likely win the division and be playing for the pennant, you know, you need to fortify that outfield. And I love what Almora has been able to do, but maybe if the Cubs are able to acquire an outfielder, that just makes them that much deeper once everybody comes back. The other thing is, you know, I think that the injuries that they've suffered, especially with Soler, you really don't know what he's going to be when he comes back.
He's a total mystery.
I mean, because the guy's had leg injuries his whole career. Now, I don't want to be hard on him. It's just true. It's just for whatever reason, his legs have not been able to hold up for a whole season yet in his career. And with Fowler, he's not been an injury-prone guy. But, again, you never know with a hamstring. So it's interesting that you bring up Jay Bruce. I don't see any way that happens because I think of all teams, the Reds are not a team the Cubs want to give their prospects to, and that's what it would take to get a guy like Bruce. Even if it's not their best prospects, I mean, look at what Kansas City was able to reap from the trade for Johnny Cueto last year. I mean, Brandon Finnegan's in the rotation, and I'm not saying that the guy's going to be incredible, but I think that's a good young arm. And if they keep getting more young players like that, this Reds team is going to come back. So I don't think you want to be giving Cincinnati your prospects. And so I would think that Bruce probably isn't even an option. You know, somebody brought up to me, I was doing a show yesterday on The Score, and somebody was asking me about Carlos Gonzalez. And, you know, I know that the guy's got, what, a year and a half left on his contract. It's $17 million a year. The Cubs could afford to pick that up from a salary standpoint. But what are you willing to give up to get Carlos Gonzalez? I mean, the only way you make a deal like that is if you think Fowler's not coming back next year, you'd put Gonzalez in left, and you'd put Almora in center next year with Hayward in right, right? And then this year you would just put Cargo in left field and go for the World Series. But again, it depends for me what you're giving up to make a trade like that. I love Cargo. I'd love to see him in a Cub uniform. I just think that that's going to be sort of a complicated trade to make.
Yeah, definitely. And it's something they're going to have to weigh. I'm with you. I don't think the Bruce trade makes a lot of sense at all. I just don't think he's that much of an improvement. And like you said about giving up players for prospects for someone like him that I don't think makes you a lot better. I don't really get that all that much. The Cargo thing, certainly a better player. You got more control for him. I just think that the Cubs are so hell-bent on having a position for Kyle Schwarber when he's eventually healthy. It seems those guys are completely sold on him being just an unbelievable hitter throughout his career, and I can see why they think that. And as a result, I don't think they're going to tie up any sort of long-term players when they know that that's going to be likely Schwarber's position next year. And I don't think Fowler is going to be back, and we could talk about down the line, but just thinking about adding a player that's got another year of control, I'm not sure if that's going to be something that's feasible for this team. They're just fortunate because of this goes back to their flexibility with their defensive alignment. So even if you aren't ready to hand the keys to the car to Albert Almora for center field, they could still, you know, use Hayward in center and have Brian in right, like we've seen, and have, because the emergence of Javi Baez has given Joe almost an extra outfielder to use Brian in that spot, because he does have so much faith in Javier Baez, who's been just unbelievable the last couple of weeks. Yeah. And it gives him a little, like, you can use Coughlin in left. He's a nice Band-Aid. He's fine. They know what to expect from him. Use Almora. Matt Caesar can spot start against lefties here and there. It's the short term. They'll be fine, I think. It's just, and Tommy Lo Stello will be back maybe eventually too. I don't know. It's certainly something to think about. I don't know who else other besides those two names that you mentioned are out there outfielder-wise. But as you know, they're smart enough to not make any rash decisions about outfielders to trade for.
Don't you also get the sense, I get this sense, that Theo and Jed love Kyle Schwarber. Not just the player, but the man. Like, they love him. And I, like, all these different rumors that have been out there that have been posted about the Cubs trading Schwarber for It's not happening. I don't think that they're trading Kyle Schwarber unless they got blown away. And they're not trading Kyle Schwarber for relievers.
They're not. They're certainly not. That's out of the question entirely. There's, I would say that even though Stephen A. Smith said that the Cavs had a 0% chance of winning the title, there's a 0% chance that the Cubs trade Kyle Schwarber before July 3rd.
Although, I will give Stephen A. credit for this. He did tweet out the link to him saying that last night as a joke.
Like that. And I don't like it very much this off, but I'm glad he called himself out. At least
he did that, because I watched that video again last night and I laughed. And at least, I don't watch that show for obvious reasons, but if I did watch that show and I had a visceral reaction either way to Stephen A. or Skip, I would at least like give him credit and say, you know what, you said something ridiculous, but at least you can make fun of yourself for it now.
Definitely. I appreciate that. You got to have a good little self-deprecation and humility from time to time. So if the Cubs, for some reason, trade Kyle Schwarber between now and July 31st, which won't happen because there's 0% chance it happens, but for some reason that 0% comes to fruition, which doesn't even make sense, but if it does, I will post the link to this podcast saying that I said there was a 0% chance, just like Stephen A. I'll just yell less into the microphone, I think.
Yeah, well, I would hope you'll yell less than him, also not have the same just... like grating way of discussing it. Anyway, so our Cubs right now have won 3 in a row. As we record tonight, they've got a 3-game series with the St. Louis Cardinals. What impresses me, Beto, about not only the way that they're winning, but the way that they've dominated the division. I mean, yep. They have absolutely destroyed the NL Central. And I can think back to the first year that Theo and Jed were here, and they talked about the importance of being able to be better than the competition in your own division so that you can be in the playoffs every year. I mean, I realize that as we record, it's June 20th, and there's still 3 months left in the season, but they are so far and away above every other team in their own division. It's pretty astonishing. And last year, this was the best division in baseball.
Yep. And the funny thing is, I was thinking about that. I think they're what, like 21-6 against their own division?
Yeah.
At this point, you look at – let's go back. I was going to say flash forward to 3 years ago, but that doesn't make any sense. So if we flash back, however, 3 years ago to 2013, you're looking ahead and you're thinking to yourself, how the hell is this organization going to surpass the current class of the National League Central? You have the St. Louis Cardinals, who went to the World Series that year and won it in 2011. Just they win every, win 90 plus every single year.
Right.
You have the Pirates that were having a monster year, made their first playoff in whatever it was, 23 years or whatnot, and had a lot of young talent and more on the way. Then you had the Cincinnati Reds, who you felt like weren't going to be like this forever. However, they had a lot of talent, especially offensively, and they made the playoffs that year as well as the other wild card team. So you have those three teams, and then you have the Milwaukee Brewers, which the following year had a divisional lead of, 9 games in June or July before just collapsing and the Cardinals took over, and they were okay as well. So you're thinking to yourself, the Cubs are clearly – just the fact that they were able to go from – how are we going to even get close to the class of this to, like you said, far and away the class of the division in just 3 years is just astonishing to me.
I think that the job that Theo and Jed have done to build this thing, it's almost better than I even thought it would be it is better because we talked about earlier in this podcast, Fowler being hurt, Schwarber out for the year, Hayward missed a few days in the outfield. Soler's out right now. LaStella's out right now. Montero missed a bunch of time. It's not like this Cubs team hasn't suffered injuries. And none of them matter because they always have somebody to call up who's good. It's unbelievable the depth they've built in this organization. And I was trying to think about this, Beto, and you and I are baseball nerds. And I think between the two of us, we might be able to rack our brains and figure it out. But lately, I've been trying to think of a team that was so deep that they just called people up and seemingly always those guys would come through. And really what it is basically we're like the Cardinals now. It's like whoever they call up always seem to work out, right? I mean, whether it was the Jeremy Hazelbakers of the world, or they could call up John Jay, or they could call up Alan Craig, or they could call up other guys with last names for first.
Stubby Clapp, Bo Hart.
Right. I mean, or Stubby Clapp. Oh, my God. I mean, it just didn't matter. They could call up anyone, and they worked out. And right now, that's what the Cubs are. They are the team that no matter who comes up from the minor leagues, that player works out.
Yeah, they have. And that's what I thought was so funny about Contreras, that he comes up and he just instantly contributes. And you've seen that, like you said, countless times, it feels like Almora. And yeah, there'll be an adjustment period for these guys eventually. Once they get hot, pitchers will sort of figure out maybe what a weakness is. Then they have to readjust to what the pitchers are doing. And that's going to happen. We're not saying that it won't. However, just the ability to come up and contribute immediately does certainly remind you of the Cardinals. We're not saying that they've mirrored the Cardinals' success over this 21st century, but it does remind you of that. And it's friggin' awesome to watch. And it's just so much fun. And we get a chance, you know, I don't know when we'll post the podcast, but Wilson Contreras is making his first start tonight. And it's just, you just get so giddy to see these guys debut. And it makes it just so much more impactful that they're doing it on a team that's so darn good. It's unbelievable.
All right, Beto, I know that you have to run. So why don't we get to the game that is sweeping the nation, which is you predict what happens on the schedule for the Cubs. And then I obviously just laugh at the fact that you picked them to go 7-0, and then I make my pick. So are you saying 7-0 for this week between the 3 against the Cardinals and the 4 against the Marlins?
No, I'm not saying 7-0. I'm guaranteeing 7-0. I mean, we are not losing to the Cardinals this week at home. We have Lackey on the mound with Contreras, and God, this better still be alive by the time we listen or post this podcast tomorrow morning. And then you have 3 in a row against the Cardinals, who actually have been, believe it or not, I looked at their splits, much better on the road. It's really weird. So hopefully that trend, hopefully they kind of come back down to earth on the road. But then you go to Miami, and we finally get our revenge from 2003, and I'm really digging deep to find a reason why we're going to sweep the Marlins. So I come from 13 years ago. By the way, I do have to really say really fast.
Yeah.
Watching the ESPN broadcast last night, keep in mind, I think the Sunday night team is the best it's been in a long time.
They're fantastic.
I like all of them. Shulman's great. Jess Mendoza is great. Aaron Boone is, you know, he's fine.
Yeah.
Especially considering when they had Schilling and Joe Morgan and whatever.
Yeah, right.
And this isn't really them. They're not the ones that asked this, so I can't put it on them. But the fact that every national or ESPN broadcast, every time the Cubs are on Sunday Night Baseball, has to somehow play footage of the Bartman.
Oh, I got
unbelievable thing ever. Like, are you kidding me? Are they just trolling us? Or do they actually think they need to show this every single time?
Beto, you want to talk about, one of the themes of our podcast is irrational anger.
Yes.
I got irrationally angry when they showed that. I was like, are you kidding? I'm trying to enjoy the Cubs game and you have to show Moises Alou in my face. This is what you're doing to me. I'm enjoying a 5 home run barrage. I'm enjoying a sweep of the Pirates. And it was open trolling. It was horrible.
It was. I was so angry.
Yes.
Why do they have to show it? Everyone knows what happened. We don't need to devillainize the whole situation any more than everyone already knows.
Yes.
Just let it go. And, you know, it's just like, I get that they have to, you know, when the Cubs are this good, you'll occasionally hear like, yo, they haven't won the World Series in 1908. But say it in passing, it's fine. Like, I don't care because, you know, not everyone watching is a Cubs fan. But there's just zero reason to show that play pretty much every national broadcast, especially on ESPN. So I had to get that off my chest. But as a result, the Cubs sweep in Miami. They go 7-0 this week.
Hey, Beto, have you heard that the Cubs haven't had the greatest past in their history as a franchise? I don't know. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm going to make sure that they show that. Yeah.
Somebody talked about a black cat. Somebody talked about 100 years of not winning the division. Somebody talked about 84. And, yeah, believe it or not, believe it or not, I have heard of that before.
Oh, my God. 47-20, my friends. So I'm going to say that they take 2 out of 3 from the Cardinals, and they take 3 out of 4 in Miami. So, yeah.
It's to Jose Fernandez.
Right. Five out of seven for the week is what I'm going with for our Chicago National League ball club.
All right, let's do it. Oh, I would take it, but you're wrong. I'd 7-0, but I would take a 5-2 as well.
Right. I mean, obviously they're going 7-0. I'm just trying to, you know, be the negative guy in this podcast.
Absolutely.
So, Beto, you have a great week. Always fun. And tell us how we can get to the Facebook page.
Yeah, we can get to it by searching for the B Squared Show. I think it says your source for all Cubs talk all the time, as cliche as a tagline as you can get. But hey, we made it our own. So you can follow it there. You can obviously follow us on Twitter at Jordan Burnfield is him. I'm at Brian Beto. Real. I like that, though. They're real, just normal, standard, full name, no spaces or underscores. Not the real Jordan Burnfield, even though we could be getting to that territory. We're going to need the real Jordan Burnfield to make so everyone knows. You are verified, aren't you?
I am verified.
You got the check mark. I do.
But, I mean, it's really like when that happened, people were like, oh, my God, you have the blue check mark. Nothing really happens. You just sort of, like, get followed by other random people with blue check marks.
It's yeah, but it's cool, though. It's cool to say you have the check mark. It's like getting your own bobblehead in a different way. Like, you know you made it when you get your own bobblehead. You know you made it when you get your own verified check mark. And you should definitely follow, because not only do you get the verified check mark, you get your weekly column through the Daily Herald. So had a chance to check that out. So, yeah, all sorts of good stuff.
You can tell me next week why you think I'm an idiot for wanting pitchers in the home run derby, like most people have already said.
I don't really care.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It'd be fun.
Yeah, so do I. It doesn't – I don't know. Like, the home run derby is cool, but there's nothing wrong with trying something new, right? It's not like it's so sacred that they can't change it. Adding to it, I'm kind of fine with it. We'll see what happens. But yeah, it was an interesting article or piece or a thought column.
Oh, thank you.
So yeah, follow that. You can obviously we'll tweet out our podcast as well. Follow it on iTunes too. So several different ways and mediums that you can catch us on.
Yes, you can. And we're at podomatic.com. We are also, like Beto mentioned, on iTunes. He's Brian Beto. I'm Jordan Burnfield. We'll talk to you after another 7-0 Cubs week. Talk to you soon on the B Squared Podcast.